Good afternoon. It's good to be here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We give you a warm welcome to come along to our services. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station, go up the hill. And we're situated next to Thornwood Primary School. We meet on the Lord's Day, Sunday, at 11 a.m. and our new evening time of 6 o'clock. And you would be welcome to come along. We also meet on Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. And feel free to come along where you might hear something more concerning the Christian gospel. You may well ask me, what is the Christian gospel? What is this good news that Christians proclaim, or at least they should proclaim? Because today, sadly, very often, the gospel is not proclaimed. You might well go to a place of worship and you might not hear the Christian gospel. Well, by the grace of God, we seek to proclaim that gospel. And that gospel revolves around the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It all centers and revolves around Him. And there would be no gospel without the Lord Jesus. And to understand the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, is the eternally begotten Son of God. God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in the councils of eternity, there was an agreement, a contract, a covenant between the Father and the Son, that at the time appointed by the Father, the Son would come to this world, that He would take upon Himself human flesh. And we know that He was miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by a miraculous work of God the Holy Spirit, something that we cannot understand or explain. But this had to happen in order that Christ would be sinless and that He would not know original sin. And this is vitally important for us to grasp and to understand, that the Savior that we proclaim to you is God in the flesh. He is both man and God. And He is sinless. And He lived a life of perfect obedience to God's commands. And ultimately, according to God's foreknowledge and will, He was ultimately crucified on a cross. And this was Him offering up Himself, His life, as a once for all perfect sacrifice to satisfy the just demands of God's most holy and inflexible law. That law that all of us have broken. That law that God has given to us because we have been created by God. Our first parents were immediately created by God. Adam was created out of the dust of the earth, and Eve was created out of Adam. And when they were originally created, they were perfect. They had no sin. And they enjoyed a wonderful relationship with their Creator. But, as you may well know, as you read Genesis chapter 3, that Eve disobeyed God, and she ate the forbidden fruit, and then she gave some of this fruit to her husband. And thereby, both of them failed the test and the trial that God had given to them. And since that point in time, mankind encountered sin, and the glorious relationship that they had with their Creator was now broken. Sin came and changed everything. And sin is what has brought all trouble and problems and strife and sickness and sorrow and tears and ultimately death to this world. There would be no death without sin. We were never made to die. We were made to live forever. But because of our first parents' disobedience, sin came. Things changed. And in some sense, you might think there's no hope for us. Well, that is not the case. That's why we're out here with the Christian gospel. Because God has done something glorious, wonderful, and divine. What has He done? He has dealt with the problem of sin. This terrible problem that affects every one of us. We have a sinful nature. We are sinners. And as a result, we sin accordingly. Every moment of every day, we sin. Now you might say, well, that's not me. That does not describe me. Well, the Lord Jesus said, when talking about the Ten Commandments, He summed up the Ten Commandments by saying this, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's how the Lord Jesus summed up keeping the Ten Commandments. Basically, to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. I put it to you as you pass by. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? If you're honest with yourself, you will realize that you have never done that. You have never loved God as you should have. You do not love your neighbor as you should have. The reality is that along with everyone else, you love yourself more than anything. And therefore, you have broken God's commands. And that's what's called sin. And sin is a very serious thing because ultimately, sin is rebellion against God. And God is holy. God is righteous. And God cannot tolerate sin. And therefore, He cannot tolerate sinners. He will have no fellowship with sinners. And therefore, there is a great problem for us because we are all sinners. And therefore, God has, in some sense, to reject us. But the good news of the gospel is that God has done something to rectify the position. What has He done? He has sent His Son. He has sent His Son who has perfectly kept the law of God and who paid the penalty for breaking God's law. And we are told that if we believe upon Jesus, we receive His righteousness. What does that mean? It means His righteousness is credited to us. Or imputed unto us. He kept the law. If we believe in Him, that is given to us. So that if we believe upon Christ, God looks upon us as if we had fully obeyed His law and never broken it. And more than that, Christ paid the penalty for breaking the law, yet He Himself did not break it. He paid that penalty on our behalf. And therefore this comes to us also if we believe upon Jesus. And that's why we can escape punishment, because Christ was punished in our place. And truly this is good news. This is good news for the people on Buchanan Street this afternoon in 2021. This is the finest and the greatest and the most blessed news that you could ever hear, that your sins can be forgiven, that you can be reconciled to God. How can you be reconciled to God? How can you stand justified before God? How can you be accepted before a holy God? It's only by believing upon the Lord Jesus, it's only by receiving Him as your Lord and Savior that you can be accepted. And that's why we come out this afternoon. That's why we leave our studies, and that's why we leave our pulpits, and we come out to the street to tell people about this great and glorious person, this one who will save all who will come to Him. Jesus said on one occasion, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As you walk by this afternoon, you will have a burden. I'm not talking about something in your back, like a backpack or your shopping that you're carrying, but you'll have an invisible burden that surfaces on many occasions. What is that burden? That burden is your sin. And that is a burden because of your sin. You do not have a right relationship with your Creator. Sin is a barrier. Sin breaks that relationship that you should have with your Creator. And no matter what you might do, you cannot get rid of that barrier or that burden. It's there. It will surface maybe in your quiet times, maybe as you're going to sleep at night, or when you're not watching the television or listening to music, when it's quiet and when you get time to think. There is that burden, and that burden is telling you you're not right with God. Well, in the gospel there is a way to get right with God. In the gospel there is a way to deal with this problem, the problem of your sin, your own personal sin, that problem that you're carrying around with you. You are to go to the Lord Jesus. You are to call upon Him that He might save you. And what encouragement have you got to go to the Savior? You might be an individual who will admit that you have not lived a perfect life and that you are a sinner. And maybe you look upon yourself as a great sinner, and maybe you think there's no hope for you. I want to tell you that there's hope for you if you come to the Lord Jesus. He is one who is able to save to the uttermost. He's the one who will take all your sins and cleanse you. He's the one who will give you a new heart. He will put a new spirit within you. He will implant a new nature within you. And He will prepare you for glory, to take you to where He is. And this is the very heart and the very essence of the Christian gospel, that Christ has done something that no other individual could do. What was that? He dealt with sin. He dealt with mankind's sin. There on the cross, I'm sure you know about the fact that Christ was crucified. He was crucified as a criminal. He was crucified as an arch criminal. Because only those who were notable and terrible sinners or criminals were crucified. And He was crucified in the middle of two thieves. And their friends, as He was dying, and as blood was pouring from His hands and His feet and His side and from the head that had a crown of thorns on top of it, He was crucified along with two thieves. And these two thieves were getting at Christ. But once a thing changed. What changed? One of the thieves turned to the Lord Jesus, and he rebuked his fellow thief. And he said to the Lord Jesus there, moments before he died, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Here was Christ about to die. Here was a thief also about to die a few hours afterwards. He had been a notable criminal. No doubt he had killed somebody. That's why he was being crucified. But he turns to the Lord Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What would you expect Christ to say to this person, to this villain, to this wicked individual who, according to his own words, was being crucified justly because he was truly a criminal? Well, Christ said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Meaning, your sins are forgiven. Meaning, you will be with me. Meaning that his eternal future would be secure. Meaning that he could face death, knowing that he would wake up in a new world with Christ. Therefore, his sins were forgiven, and he was ready for eternity. I realize as some of you pass by, you're shaking your head and you're wondering about this. But this is the very gospel. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel that tells sinners to repent and to believe upon him and to receive him as Lord and Savior and to take up the cross and to follow him and to have their sins forgiven and to be reconciled to God and to be made red for glory. This is what it does, and this is the gospel. And sadly, friends, we have to admit that many people today do not know the gospel, and many people despise Christianity and they reject it, and they reject something that they don't know and they never really heard truthfully about. And therefore we would tell you to open up your Bibles and read what the gospel is. Read, for instance, the gospel according to Mark. And there you will see and hear about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and how he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And indeed, this is the most pressing problem that you can possibly address. Many people today will tell us that we have other problems. Society is dominated with the coronavirus, and particularly at this time, especially in Glasgow and in our own nation, we are taken up with this COP26 climate change conference. And many people are telling us this is the most important issue that's facing mankind today. It is how we are supposed to deal with climate change. Well, I'm not going to talk about climate change, friends, but I'll tell you there's a more pressing problem that affects every one of us. And that problem is our own personal sin. And that problem will lead to one day we will stand before the Lord our God and give account. This is what the Bible teaches us. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Life is very short, and it can be very brief. It can be very, very uncertain. We don't know one day from the next. And as someone has said, there's only really two things that are absolutely certain in this world. What are they? Well, it's taxes and it's death. This is something that's going to come to every one of us. We are mortal. And death has come into human experience because of sin. Because of sin. And the Bible reminds us that we have an appointment with death. And after that, it is judgment. The Apostle Paul said on another occasion, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There's a day coming when we'll give account. every thought, every word, every action. How will you fare in that day? I tell you sincerely, friends, that day you'll need a Savior. As a famous preacher said many, many years ago, you can live your life without the Lord Jesus, but you dare not die without the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, you can live very happily. You can ignore Christ during your lifetime. You can get up in the morning. You can go to your work. You can engage in activities. You can do all kinds of things. You can live your life without any reference to God and to Christ. But the day will come, friends, when you dare not die without Christ. There's a man beside me and he's telling me, I'm talking rubbish. I'm not talking rubbish. I'm talking the truth as it is in Jesus. And the reason why he's calling it rubbish is he doesn't like to be reminded. His conscience is telling him that this poor preacher, no matter how poorly he may be presenting his case, is actually telling him the truth. And his conscience is beginning to wake up. And his conscience is telling him, why don't you listen to the preacher? Why don't you listen to him? Why don't you listen to him? Because the preacher is simply telling you something from God's word. That's what he doesn't like to hear. And therefore he begins to get personal. And he says, I'm talking rubbish. But no, friends, I'm not talking rubbish. And as I said before, you can live without Christ. Yes, no one can deny it. You can live without Christ, but you dare not die without him. Because if you die without him, you will stand before him. That great day when he will come with all his holy angels and he will be on his great white throne, the throne of judgment, and you will be there. You will be called forth from your grave. You will have a resurrection and you will stand before King Jesus and you will give account. And that day, friends, you want to have Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because if you don't have him as Lord and Savior, that will be an awesome day. That will be a terrible day. That will be a day when you will hear your eternal sentence. Depart from me, ye cursed. That's what he'll say. And that's why we come out this afternoon. And that's why we leave our study. And that's why we leave our churches and our pulpits and the comfort of home. And we come out to the street to tell you the good news. That today, Jesus is not our judge. Today, Jesus is our Savior, if we will but come unto him. Does the Bible not say in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And Christ has come on a mission. It's a mercy mission. It's not a mission of condemnation. It's a mission of grace. It's a mission of mercy. It's a mission to tell you that all things are now done. All things have been prepared. Christ has done everything to satisfy the holy and inflexible law of God, to satisfy divine justice, and now through the gospel, salvation, deliverance, freedom, forgiveness of sins, and reconciliation to God are offered to you in the gospel this afternoon. This is what happens. This is the very essence of the gospel. And sadly, friends, today, many people really don't know the Christian gospel. And many people are rejecting the Bible and its message, and they've never examined it, and they've never heard it authentically proclaimed to them. They've simply heard it from someone else, and they simply are following others instead of thinking for themselves. And this is what you must do. I challenge you, I urge you, take up your Bibles, read them. There you will find Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the only Savior, friend. No other religion, no other religious leader, no person can save you but the Lord Jesus. We realize that that is not politically correct today to say that, but it is the truth of the Scriptures, and we stand by God's Word. Salvation is found in none else, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we must be saved. Why must we be saved? We must be saved because we're sinners. And God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. He will not forgive our sins unless we come to the Lord Jesus. He has provided a way of escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How can we possibly escape if we turn from the way that God Himself has provided? The way of salvation, the way of deliverance, the way of freedom that I'm talking about, it has not been devised by myself. It has not been devised by the church or my congregation or my denomination. This is God's way of dealing with our greatest problem. What is our greatest problem? Our greatest problem is sin. A problem that's too great, too powerful for us to deal with. It is the most powerful thing in the world. Yet, God has addressed it. God sent forth His Son in the fullness of time. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Do you realize, friends, what the gospel means? It means when you come to the Lord Jesus and have your sins forgiven, you are adopted into the family of the living God. Yes, wonderful, glorious, spiritual blessings are yours to be found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We are reconciled to God. We have the gift of eternal life. You know, the Christian doesn't wait for eternity to get the gift of eternal life. The moment you believe upon the Lord Jesus, you receive that gift. What does Romans chapter 8 verse 1 say? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That burden that I was talking about some time ago is taken away. Sin has been dealt with. That estrangement from the Heavenly Father has been removed. The Christian is adopted and taken into the family of the living God. He's in a new relationship. He possesses eternal life now, as it says in John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you want to know this new life? Do you want to know your eternal future is secure? Do you want to know these things? Then you must come to the Lord Jesus. How can I trust Christ, you might say? Will He receive me? I'm a great sinner. Will He receive me? Of course He will. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And whosoever cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. God will not cast out anyone who comes to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the great news of the gospel. This is why we give gospel invitations. As it says in Isaiah, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. What will you do then, friends, with the Lord Jesus? You have to make up your mind. You have to come and embrace Him. You have to come and follow Him. You have to call upon Him and receive Him. You cannot delay. You might say to yourself, well, the Christian way, I don't think it's the right way. I'll sort this problem out my own way. What does the Bible say? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We are proclaiming to you the only way. It is God's way, not man's way, God's way. It's God who provided the Savior. It is His great plan. It has been executed perfectly. Everything's all ready. The Savior has suffered and died and rose again. He now sits at God's right hand, waiting for that day when He shall return. And He shall return. We know the Bible tells us that scoffers will come. And they will say that He's not coming. Things haven't changed. He will come, friends. As sure as He came the first time, He will come the second time. That day has been appointed. He will come. Behold, He cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see Him. You shall see Him one day. But if you're not in Christ now, that day will be too late. And that's why we're out to tell you about Jesus Christ. That you might seek Him, that you might repent, that you might forsake your sins, and that you might call upon Him, and that you would receive Him as Lord and Savior. We're going to call our time to an end. It's been good with you, been with you. It's good to be able to come out in the street and to present something of the gospel. We do ask that the Lord would follow with His blessing, and that you would ponder and think about these things, for this is still the day of grace. So may God bless His word to you.